All right, Austin, how we doing today? Thank you for coming. We greatly appreciate you skipping the Black Keys keynote, but coming to what is forever in history going to be known as the best panel of South by Southwest 2024. This panel is officially known as Marvel, the Future of X-Men and Digital Comics panel. However, last week, Tom Brevoort here wrote something on a piece of paper. We were on a call, and we couldn't get the logo done in time, so we're unofficially calling this SXSWX. The VV folks got some cool shirts made up. We did not have time to do that, but maybe for next year if we're invited back. But really, thank you all for coming. Thank you for spending the afternoon with us. My name is C.B. Cebulski. I am the editor-in-chief of Marvel. I'll be taking you in to this panel. But then, Marvel executive editor and, as he likes to be called, conductor of X, Tom Brevoort, will be leading us through. We have a lot of amazing announcements today, some never-before-seen, well, mostly never-ever-before-seen.
Everything is brand new.
Exactly. And here to talk about possibly books they might be writing for the X-Men are two of our fabulous writers. First up, the writer of Moon Knight, Black Cat, Blood Hunt, all kinds of different
Avengers.
Stuff. Avengers. I thought you didn't want to talk about Avengers anymore.
I don't.
Mr. Jed McKay. And someone who has written possibly every character on the planet for every comic book company, including Wonder Woman, Birds of Prey, Red Sonja, Deadpool, Domino, the amazing Gail Simone. So, I know you're dying to see artwork. I know you're dying for news. I know you're dying for maybe a video we have to show.
Yeah, a little trailer.
But why don't we set the stage, Tom? Because, there's some stuff that's going to be coming up.
Go to the next slide.
You want to go to the next slide?
Yeah,
we're going to go to the next slide.
Put the logo up and...
The logo? Oh, sorry. I completely forgot. That's us. My bad. I'm a little rusty at this.
That's the best picture of Tom ever.
Is that yeah, I remember that. Scotty Young, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so X-Men from the Ashes.
All right, so in August of last year, I became the conductor of X, the new head of the X group at Marvel. And since then, we've been working furiously to put together the new X-Men line that will be coming your way starting in July, August, and September of this very year. The outgoing team, headed by Jordan White and writers Jerry Duggan and Kieran Gillen and Al Ewing, will be finishing up their big Krakoa storyline by June. And consequently, we're going to kind of have to dodge around talking about some stuff here because I really want to allow them to finish their story in the way it's been told and so forth and not spoil too much about where they're leaving things. But our new team and our new incoming books are going to pick up directly from where they leave off and chart the X-Men into the future. So that's what this is all about.
And I just wanted to give Tom also a big shout out to Jonathan Hickman, who set up the Krakoan Age. Everyone's been reading the Krakoan, the X-Men books. It's amazing that I remember sitting in that conference room, and it was probably 6 years ago now when Jonathan first presented it.
I think he's almost done with the presentation now.
Yeah.
He had a bit.
But Jonathan had a 5-year plan, and he helped really architect it and build it for the first two and a half years, and then Jerry and Alan really Jonathan set the course. They took it, put up the sails, and brought it. What's going to be too soon is closed. But we've all been excited about everything with that. And we're going to take you here to a look at the future. So how many people are the big X-Men fans? Come on. I got shirts here.
All right.
Maybe later we'll test you on some X-Men knowledge to make sure that's true. But, without further ado, why don't we give you a little look at the future of X-Men. All right.
I have to say, it's really a relief to have all of that out now. Because we've been sitting on it for months and not being able to talk about any of it. So being able to share this all with you, it's at the very least, it's a special moment for me. X-Men, From the Ashes, A New Beginning. It starts in summer. It starts in July. We're really going to be talking about the three core X-Men books here at this panel. There will be, as the slide at the end of that awesome trailer showed, three titles that carry the name X-Men. Those titles will be, surprisingly enough, X-Men, and also Uncanny X-Men.
By Jed McKay.
And Uncanny X-Men, written by Gail Simone.
I'm writing X-Men, y'all.
Yeah. And Exceptional X-Men by Eve Ewing and Carmen Carniero. Eve sadly could not be with us today, but we'll have some stuff to show you from that. In the aftermath of the Krakoa saga, Krakoa as an entity is no more. The dream of a mutant nation is finished, and like it or not, all of mutant kind now needs to reintegrate back into the world, a world that they've spent the last 4 or 5 years telling that they were the new inheritors of the world and that humanity has new gods now. And some people are not terribly on board with this as a thing. So the X-Men going into where we pick up are fractured. There's no real central leadership, and the characters are scattered hither and yon across the globe. And we have a number of different loci of X-Men activity and mutant activity that shows up across the world. Each book, our intention is to make them have a unique flavor and a unique point of view, so that every title is its own entity, even though each one is a component part of the larger X-Men and mutant experience. And that goes for all the other stuff we'll be doing beyond the three books we're going to talk about here. But to get to the actual books we're going to talk about here, the first book up is...
Sorry, not to cut you off, Tom. This promo piece is done by Ryan Stegman, and it's colored by Marte Gracia, I believe.
Yes.
Who can say that they can identify every X-Men in that piece?
Oh, there's a dude who wants it, who's a taker.
I don't think you can. Who are the characters on the right-hand side?
Right-hand side.
Yeah.
Kid Cable, Shadow Cave. That looks like Trinary.
No, Trinary's not on there, is she?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, the one with the pink hair, is that Mera?
Nope.
No.
Okay, can I get hands?
No. We'll give you the answers in a second, but very nice try.
It was
Thank
a trick
you for participating.
Question.
But so getting into the first book, which will be drawn by Ryan Stegman.
X-Men. Jed McKay, why don't you tell us something about the X-Men? I hear they're mutants.
Well, if you're looking at the image, most of them are. So in X-Men, Scott Summers is going home. Not to the schools a lot of people have been worrying about, but he's going to Alaska. As you may have seen in the trailer, that's the first shot of the base and the headquarters of the X-Men, the factory, which will turn up for the first time in comics next month in Avengers number 12. So that's something, that's kind of the start point of this this journey. But we have this team of X-Men, and they are concerning themselves with, you know, mutant business. They're going around the world. They've got the Cerebro. They're looking to deal with problems that are arising with mutants around the world, protecting those who can't protect themselves, defusing situations that are difficult, and ultimately dealing with a certain group who are perhaps challenging them on that, taking control of that legacy. So it's, you know, it's Ryan Stegman drawing it, Marta Gracia coloring it. If you've been following Stegman's work, you know, it's about as high energy and exciting as it gets in comics. So we're pretty psyched for it.
And I think you could probably all identify every character in this shot, at least, correct?
He can do it.
Go ahead. Give us the lineup of X-Men.
Okay, from the top, left to right, Aya, Mantis, Cable, Magneto, Kid Omega, in the middle, Magic, Juggernaut, in the bottom, Beast, Cyclops, and Psylocke.
All right.
Very nice.
I have to add, too, that I've read the scripts that are in so far. It's an amazing, epic story, and the art is really smoking in it. It's really hot, and it's going to be an amazing, exciting, epic book.
Here we have some of Ryan's designs, which are classic, but with tweaks, right, Tom?
Yeah, all modernized. Pretty much all X-Men get a slight a makeover going into all of our new titles. Go ahead, Jed.
I say, you know, we see Juggernaut with the X actually imprinted on his armor, which, you know, the only thing that could do that would be Juggernaut himself. So he's carving the X into his own outfit.
His thumb.
Yeah, as a mark of his commitment to the cause.
Yeah, so this group, you know, functioning out of Alaska, is effectively a strike team. They're basically patrolling the world. They've got the last Cerebro unit that still exists. And they are going out to essentially deal with mutant business, good and bad. Whether that means evil mutants who are doing something untoward that need to be stopped, whether that is new mutants that are popping up on Cerebro and need to be brought into the fold or protected, whether that these are places where humankind or other evil forces are stepping on mutants, this crew gear up and go out and take care of business. That's the oeuvre of this series in a nutshell. You want to talk about our new version of Oya?
Yeah, so we have Oya on the team. We've renamed her as Temper in the respect that she does not burn, she gets stronger in the same way you temper steel or temper glass. And Ryan's just really going wild with the orange and the blue.
Yeah, and he's going to enjoy drawing those checkered pattern on in month in and month out.
That was his idea.
Yeah, he Kid Omega might wash that shirt once in a while.
And then something a little bit here we want.
Yeah, the big thing that maybe gives people pause in the whole of the world is that this crew is operating under the auspices of Magneto. Who I like to call, and Quentin Quire likes to refer to, as Professor M. And he's tooling around in a big old floating throne thing, and there's reasons for that we'll eventually get into.
That cape, the mantle is crazy. Who was that? Was that Ryan's idea?
That was Ryan's. Yeah. He's a visual behemoth. He comes at this stuff and throws all kinds of ideas, visual and otherwise. At us, and it's great.
Awesome. That's working. It's getting a little stuck. Now, moving on. Gail.
Yes.
Uncanny X-Men.
I am so excited to be writing this. This book is Rogue and Gambit head to a home in Louisiana where Gambit spent some of his youth. And that's where they end up together, and not sure what is in their future with their life together at this point. And then we have some outliers show up that are four young mutants that we've never seen before that have been created by myself and David. And this book is, the tone of it's kind of like a Southern Gothic tale where it's going to be super scary, creepy, and sexy, and David Marquez is the perfect artist for this book. His art was what you saw with all the Jubilee story on the trailer. It is amazing. He does amazing action, amazing character work, and he's really excited about getting into the deep characters that are going to be appearing in this book.
David was supposed to be here today with us, but unfortunately couldn't make it, but he does send his best. You know, he's one of the premier draftsmen in comics, and he's... Austin local, yep. And he's wonderful to have him back at Marvel.
And I knew from the very first panel that this book was going to be super exciting and gorgeous, and he just knocks it out of the park every time so much that I'm literally out of words on how to tell him how much I love it.
Right. This book, as Gail said, set in New Orleans, sort of centered around Rogue as not the lead character, but the central character. And in the absence of other ex-leadership, Rogue kind of takes it upon herself to step up and say, somebody's got to be the X-Men, and we're going to have to be the X-Men. So the remit of this title is Outlaw Heroes, very much championing the philosophies of the original Professor X dream, but in a new way, in a different way. They're situated in New Orleans in this big old antediluvian house. I think of it as sort of the inverse of the X-Mansion, in that it's barely got running water, and they're going to build a makeshift danger room out in the woods in the back with big logs that fly
it's
at
so
you.
Cool. It's so cool. It's so cool.
So they're going to be involved and get involved with the regular local human people of the area. That's one of the big things, not just with this book, but with all of the books. I really feel like after 5 or 6 years of the X-Men all kind of being segregated on an island together and dealing mostly with other mutants, I want to see them back in the world interacting with real people, good and bad, positive and negative, and dealing with that experience of what it's like to be weird and different and hated and feared, by the folks that are around you, and triumph and win, because the X-Men are cool and they do stuff like that.
Yeah, we're gonna get into Jubilee a little bit later. I think we have some more art to show, but one of the things I wanted to mention is that when I was growing up as an X-Men fan, the key book for me, well, of course, was the Uncanny X-Men, Vernon Claremont, Paul Smith, John Jr., but when New Mutants came out, that book blew me away. These were more kids my age, POV characters and things, and we can't give too much away, but like Gail mentioned, there's some new mutants coming in this title that I think are really going to knock people's socks off.
I'm super excited. And one thing that I've been an X-Men fan forever, and it really came clear to me when it was announced that I was going to be doing the free comic book day book. And that was that I was inundated with email and posts and people communicating, oh, you're going to have, such and such X-Men. That's my favorite. They're going to be in it, right? And please put this one in. And it's like everything from Beak to Jean Grey, and everything in between. And it really hits home that I think X-Fans are special in that we identify with having something different about us and being judged, and it doesn't matter how successful we are in the world or what our position is, you just feel like you're being judged all the time, and you're going to feel that in this book about what that means to have that thing about you that's different, exceptional, viewed by some as a positive and others as a negative. We get kind of in deep into the emotional part of that, and these new mutants that we meet in the Uncanny book are very much reflect our society today, and they also look amazing. But we don't have any art for them to show you yet.
Yeah, we only just really finalized designs for them like a day or two ago.
And
we were talking to David about them just last night. Yeah. So
I got teary when I saw it.
Yeah, and actually in terms of getting teary, one of the things, not just with this book, but specifically with this book, amongst others, is one of the directives here is we want to make the audience cry every month. So
not sorry.
No. we're going to feel characters that you love. We're going to have them go through things and feel things, and hopefully you will feel things as well. Hopefully those will be good things, but I'm sure we'll hear about it regardless.
When the Nightcrawler design went up, we got a yes right here in the front.
All right, one satisfied customer. We're on our way.
And wait, Wolverine is going to be in these books?
I know.
And he's not going to have arms?
That is a slim silhouette.
Obviously, there's a big movie coming this summer where he will be in the blue and gold or yellow costume. So there's a little bit of an update on the design for the comics as we go forward this summer with the launch. And now, I believe, Exceptional X-Men, Evel Ewing and Carmen Caniero. As we said, Eve unfortunately couldn't be here. She sends her best. This is one of the books where you will be seeing. We can show some of the designs of some of the mutants, but Tom, why don't you talk about this? Because this is a different book than I think that people are going to expect.
Yeah, this the third X-Men book is set in Chicago, and it focuses... All right, two satisfied customers. We're on a roll.
Yeah, no one cheered for Alaska. Unbelievable.
This guy did, Jed. They love you. Exceptional X-Men. It's set in Chicago. The spoke point, the central character, not the main character, but the central character, is Kate Pryde. In the aftermath of the war with Orcus and all of the experiences that the X-Men have gone through in the final days of Krakoa, Kate essentially went off to war and did some things that, in the light of day, she kind of is a bit uncomfortable with and a bit scarred by. And so she's gone back home. She's gone back to Chicago and pretty much stepped away from life as a mutant entirely. She's living as the roommate to a girl she used to go to Stevie Hunter's dance class with back in the day. She's working a job as a barista, and she is out. She is a little PTSD, and she kind of doesn't want to be pulled back into the world of being an active mutant and an active X-Man. But a couple of chance encounters with new, young mutants who are first discovering their powers and who are in the same sorts of situations that she herself was in when she was first discovered by Charles Xavier and Emma Frost back in the day, force her to take action, and she realizes that somebody needs to mentor the next generation of young mutants. And like it or not, at least for the ones that are right in front of her, it's going to be her. So they're going to set up not a school so much. I've been describing it to people more like one of the dojos in Cobra Kai. They're gonna work out of a disused dance studio in Chicago. They're gonna have makeshift uniforms, and Kitty's gonna try and teach these kids how to be mutants, how to deal with all the baggage that comes with it, and to find their way in the world without turning them into child soldiers. And then Emma Frost shows up and says, "Darling, you're doing this all wrong. I know how to teach mutants. I taught you and I taught so many others. Let me take the wheel." And so the push and pull dynamic of the book is it's Kitty and Emma doing the same job in very different ways, and these three kids, these three young mutants, sort of being in the center, trying to figure out who's right, who's wrong, what do they believe in, what do they want to be, how do they want to go. We're going to see, we have designs here from Carmen of the three new mutant characters. That is Bronze. And then the second one is Axo. And the third is Melee. And you will meet them all in Exceptional X-Men number 1 and 2. They don't all show up in 1, but and hopefully you will come to love and enjoy them as we have. Eve, you're going to say this in a second, Gail, but I'm going to beat you to it slightly, and then you can say it again and reiterate it so they know I'm not fibbing. Eve's script for that first issue is phenomenally good. If you ever had any love or attachment for Kitty Pryde, for Kate Pryde, this is going to nail you in the heart. And again, that's kind of what we want to do each and every issue.
Yeah, I would just like to add, I've read the scripts, and this book is a very special book, and I was saying to Eve that I hope and can't wait till it becomes a television series so that more people outside the industry can see it, because it's that special.
We can spin through the...
So here's some new costume designs. Now, Tom, the costumes aren't going to work as... they're not all going to be uniform, let's say.
No. They're all, the costumes are kind of makeshift because they don't really have a lot of resources per se. And each of the characters will will customize them to their own tastes and their own outlook. So that's your first look at the exceptional X-Men. And that's, you know, this is the third spoke on our three-pronged X-Men wheel. So these will be the three core X titles going forward. There will, of course, be a number of other books, and we're not yet ready to talk about all of them yet, because, frankly, if we give you too much, we're going to get bored in the next couple of months, and we have to have something to sustain interest before we get there. But these three titles are all going to work in unison. Our writers are all communicating on a day-to-day basis. They're all doing their own thing, and I certainly don't want all these books to feel the same or read the same. I want it to be as much of a spectrum of experiences when you read X titles, and I want each one to give you something that you can't get from the others, but they're all going to exist in a unified whole and a unified world of mutant kind and X kind. Hopefully in the best way, if I do it well, and if I do it poorly, I trust to all of you to tell me when I'm wrong. Let me set my watch.
And one of the things with these books, too, is that, as you could probably see as we talk about them, is, you know, while we're going past, moving on and honoring the legacy of Krakoa and setting up everything in a different way, these books are also heavily being influenced by some of the events in the past, especially, you know, Eve, Gale, and Jed are all digging deep into X-Men continuity to go back to create the pathos of some of the characters, some of the relationships, and even, if, you know, the Hellions, Extreme X-Men by Chris Claremont, Salvador LaRocca, being in Chicago. There's a lot of X-Men continuity, so no matter what fan of the X-Men era you were, there's something going to be in all these books for everybody.
Yeah, we really tried to use the expression. Yeah, we tried to use all the parts of the animal and to draw from, you know, all of the history of the X-Men, not just one or another over the years. And it's daunting because I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of X-Men, and people love all of them. And it's impossible to get to every single character at once. But our intention is to cover the whole of X-Men history, to use and to draw from every era and every set pool of characters. And ultimately, everybody will, in time, get their moment in the spotlight and will get to shine. So, you know, if you don't see Rock Slide here, don't worry. That doesn't mean we hate Rock Slide and we're never going to use Rock Slide for anything. And boy, he's done for. Everybody will get their moment to shine. We just need to be able to get to it.
And we're not going to get into it today, but don't think we're forgetting about your favorite villains either. There were a lot of mutant villains. They were all somewhat buddy-buddy on Krakoa. Let's just say the relationships aren't as friendly anymore.
And Uncanny has a new villain who I would put up against any of the creepiest psychological horror villains in film. This character is really creepy, and the book comes with a warning that there's an endling, and an endling is mutants.
So I got one question for y'all. Let's see who can prove how big an X-Men fan they really are. Kitty Pryde and Emma Frost debuted in the same comic book. What issue was it?
141.
Nope. Days of Future Past. Anyone? There's a prize involved. People are Googling. Right here.
A lot of people pretending not to look at their phones.
Yeah. All right, who said it? Did you Google it or not? 129? All right, he's right. Uncanny X-Men 129.
All right.
Sir, come on up. Have a special X-Men t-shirt for you.
You are the recipient of this 10th Life
awesome.
X-Men shirt.
Yeah.
Set it up in your backyard.
So, let's move ahead a little bit. Moving on, Free Comic Book Day. Tom, these are all going to debut this summer, the books, the number ones. But fans will get a sneak peek in May.
Yeah, May 3rd at a comic shop near you, and I'm told that there are several good ones in this immediate area. For Free Comic Book Day, as part of our release, the first little taste of our new X world will show up in Free Comic Book Day, Blood Hunt, X-Men Blood Hunt, written by Jed McKay, and our X-Men story written by Gail Simone. You saw a bunch of visuals from it in that trailer. It focuses on Jubilee learning that you can't go home again. It sets up a bunch of things for the future, and it gives you a really good sense of the tone of a lot of what we're doing. And you can get it absolutely free on March 3rd at your local comic retailer.
So, Gail, do you want to walk us through a little bit of the story without giving away too much?
Okay, if I start to give away too much, just stop me. Basically, we see, first of all, the art, again, as I said, it's beautiful. We come into the story with Jubilee traveling on her motorcycle cross country, and she follows some jerks into a little cafe, and she meets a kindred spirit there, and that's when we introduce the mutant symbol. And then some things happen in that cafe and outside to these jerks that she followed in there. And it's just a real, like, focused-in moment in this story. And then we also learn that, can I say what's happening to the school?
Yeah.
Okay, the school is being dismantled. And can I say what it's being
turned
into?
Yes, you can. You can say whatever you like. You've got the microphone. Nobody can stop you.
So the school is being dismantled and turned into a prison. A very scary but interesting and intriguing prison with a secret inmate.
Inmate X.
Exactly.
See, everyone online says, oh, they're going to take everybody back to Westchester. They're going to go back to Westchester. They're going to return to school. Yeah, we're going back to Westchester.
We are.
But boy, is it going to be a different place. So let's see, going on.
All right. Then, in June, the final Krakoa-era issue of X-Men, Uncanny X-Men 700, will come out. It's a huge, oversized, I think, 70-80 page
70 pages, I believe.
Extravaganza that the outgoing X team is doing, except it will contain a 10-page epilogue written by Jed and Gail in tandem and drawn by Javier Garon that will pick up almost exactly where the lead story by Kieran and Jerry and Al leave off, and begin to usher us in so that we can begin to see where some of the assorted X characters are ending up in our new world order and what's going on with them. So this will be the second little taste before we get to the actual books in July.
So, and the other thing about this issue I'm really happy about before we ask Jed and Gail about the story is that almost every artist who was a part of the Krakoan era will be contributing to this, including Pepe Larrazo on this beautiful cover, R.B. Silva, Phil Noto, Lanil Yu coming back, Lucas Wernick, everyone that's working on it now, Stefano Caselli. Plus, as a surprise, we haven't announced yet, some older X-Men artists who never worked on the Krakoan era before will be contributing as well. And Chris Claremont will also have a special story in the back of this issue. It's going to be really a big celebration. Not only is it X-Men 35, it is Uncanny X-Men 700 for the legacy numbering. So we're really putting all the bells and whistles on it and really making it something special. So no matter what fan of the X-Men you are, what era of the X-Men fan you are, there'll be something in it for you. And it's going to really put a bow on a lot of not just Krakoan mutantdom, but a lot of other mutantdom and set the stage for what's to, things to come.
And then it's all downhill from there.
So, do you guys want to hint at something, anything that's going to be going on in the store? How was it working together, co-writing?
It was great. Jed's a great writer, and we knew what the mission was, and we just made sure that, you know, as you're reading through it, that it matches up enough that, you know, you're not having glaring, like, this is Jed, this is Gail kind of feelings while you're reading the story. But mostly, part of the story that I focused on was Rogue and Gambit are trying to have a second honeymoon in Mexico, and things go weird.
Yeah, it was.
But it's still sexy.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to work on this story because it's such a it has such a wide remit, because we're looking to touch in not just on the three groups that will eventually call themselves the X-Men, but also a much wider look at what the rest of the range will look like. This is not just going to be three titles in this relaunch. It's going to be, I mean, I don't know if you want to put a number on it, but it's going to be a lot. And this is where we're going to see the first kind of inklings of the wider picture of what X-Men are going to look like in 2024 moving on.
And what's going on with Xavier?
Oh, were we supposed to show that? Sorry. No, go ahead. No, go ahead, Gail. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I just said in the epilogue in 700, we see a little bit about what's going on with Xavier.
Thank you. So, yes, starting in June, we'll see, as we've talked about, the three main X-Men books. But, Tom, I see some logos underneath there.
Those are all things that are coming up in July and August and September and beyond. And there are a few things beyond that that are not there as well. I want to do X-Men comics that honor the past, but that somebody who's coming to them clean and new today can pick up and read and enjoy. And for some reason, and I think it's mostly sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, the rap with X-Men for so many years has been, I don't know where to start. It's so impenetrable. There's so much stuff. And I hear you, and I get that. And we are looking to make these books as easy entry for somebody that is walking in off the street as it was when I started reading X-Men with 108, an especially confusing issue in 1977. I want to do more titles that are focused on individual characters, so fewer team books, despite the logos that you see there. More titles that are focused on individual mutants and X-Men as solo players, and so we'll see more of that going forward. And really just, I want to use all the stuff. I've spent the last quarter of a century working on Avengers. As you can see, I'm broken down and beaten by that experience. So diving into the enormous toy chest that is the X universe is an embarrassment of riches. And every day, there's another idea for another character or another story that can be told, or another way of looking at a character that we experienced in the past and haven't necessarily seen in quite that light. So it's a lot of fun to play with all of this stuff. I'm glad we can now share some of it with you all and have it out in the world. People can start cursing me the way they used to curse Jordan White, and they can start appreciating Jordan White and wishing he would return, wishing so fervently that he would come back and save the X-Men, but it's not going to happen. Yeah. You're stuck with me.
And then we're moving to the digital section of the comic of the panel right now, but if you stay until the end, you will get a special. Only the people in this room will be getting this comic. It is a version of Avengers 11, but with original X-Men comic on it, cover on it. Just don't be surprised when you open it up and Captain America and Captain Marvel on the inside. But before we end and move on, I just want to see if Gail, Jed, have any final words. And I'd like to give the final word from Eve, because there was an email that went around that I think was very touching, and it affected me. When we were talking about this, she said, just like when you were a kid and you read these mutants for the first time and they created characters and memories and stories that last you for the next 40 years, she's like, I'm going to do the same thing now. I'm going to be writing for this X-Men tales that respect the past, but are for this generation, so kids growing up now and have their first experience living in today's world with mutants, are going to have those same memories and be reading the X-Men comics for 40 years, the next 40 years. So I thought that was just a wonderful way for Eve to look at it. Jed, Gail, anything you want to leave the fans with?
Go ahead. Yeah. No, I'm saying I'm very excited for you guys to see X-Men when it comes out. If you're looking at that lineup, there are a group of people who are not particularly well suited to reintegrating to the world. And we're going to see what that means and what that looks like for them going forward.
It's also probably, it's not lost on anybody that for the first time in a very long time, the person that is writing X-Men is also the person writing Avengers.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, the my run on Avengers, did that chase you off the book, Tom?
You were the final straw, McKay.
And Gail, you want to take us out?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's such a honor to be able to write an X-Men book. Being a lifetime fan, you know, you never dream that this is what's going to happen in your life. But one of the things that I love about writing them so much is that you literally can write any kind of story with any kind of mutant power. You can tell huge action pieces. You can tell tiny little emotional things. You can really get in and show what it would be like to live in the world as a mutant with these powers and how similar and different we all are. And it's just like the wealth of story material that's there still, even after all these years, is quite remarkable. And it's, you know, I can't say enough of how privileged I feel that I can get in there and honor the past, like everyone's saying, but create some stories that are relevant to today and what we're seeing going on with, you know, people of you know, younger age, and then the generations above them trying to manage that and help them. And it's just, you just cannot run out of material. If someone would ever say to me writing X-Men is boring, I would just be like, you're in the wrong industry, because this is like the best sandbox.
Awesome. Well, let's give a big round of applause for everyone on the panel. All right. Thank you very much.
We're going to do shift change.
And thanks for coming out.
So we're going to take a little shuffle around a little bit, but please stay. There's a second giveaway that's going to be where we're announcing soon. So please. So who likes digital collectibles? Who's a fan of digital comics? Anyone like breaking industry news, possibly? Thank you. Well, please allow me to introduce to the stage Mr. Dan Carruthers, the COO and co-founder of Vivi. Thanks for coming up. How do you want to do this? Over here?
I'll drop here.
Okay. I think I got to switch to this mic. They said, don't put them out of order.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm glad you mentioned the giveaway so nobody ran away for this part of the...
Marvel. Boom. There we go. All right. So we're here to talk about the future of digital comics.
We are. Very exciting.
And I think before we talk about the future, it's always booked just like with the X-Men, to reflect a little bit about the past.
Exactly.
So digital comics have had a long history over the last, what do you say, 20, 25 years maybe?
Digital comics?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yep, 25 years.
About, I mean, there was the old AOL stuff.
Yeah, that's right, going back a long time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Going back.
Yeah. I mean, it's an industry that has been around longer than a lot of people think.
I think so. Does anyone here remember their first digital comic when you got online and with the old modem and downloaded a comic or something like that? Yeah.
With the old 56K.
Yeah, exactly.
For those of you old enough to remember that.
But, you know, and they've come a long way, you know, thankfully in large part due to the efforts of you and everything that your team has been doing at Vivi. Do you want to give, I know there's a lot of Vivi fans here over here at Digital Comics Festivals. For those who might not know here for the X-Men stuff, do you want to give a little brief history of the company and what you've been doing?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I'd just like to thank the Vivi fans for our amazing Austin-inspired Vivi t-shirt. It's really, really cool. So Vivi has been around for about 7 years. Both myself and my co-founder, David Yu, sitting down the front there with the perfect hair, second row back. We are both avid comic readers, avid collectors, been in this industry for a very long time. And then obviously with the advent of, a lot of industries going into digital, we saw an opportunity around 7 years ago to really offer a new way for fans to experience the fandoms that they want, new ways to engage, new forms of accessibility, etc. I won't blabber on too much more about it, but just to say that we released a new app called Vivi. Very, very exciting, very fun. All of your collectibles in there are all 3D. We really wanted to make sure that we weren't changing anything about collecting. It was just a different medium. So now I can have the physical statue, the poster, the bed, the duvet, the underwear, the digital collectible, the mug. So for us, it was just another way to get fans have an engaging experience with the fandoms that they love.
Yeah, and you guys are very cutting edge in everything what you've been doing. You've been working with us at Marvel for quite a long time and developed an enormous fan base, you know, through combining our forces, which has been great. You know, and in terms of you know, digital collectibles, you've been working with a lot. But I know you've been looking to expand into digital comics and things along those lines. You know, in the middle between the AOL comics and you know where we are today and we're reading digital comics, there was a lot of growth that had to occur. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
The reading experience. How do you this is even before the cell phones and stuff. It was how do you get it to download properly on a screen? How can you read it at a pace that you can do it comfortably, I guess. And then when cell phones and especially smartphones and tablets came out, it was a whole new ballgame.
Offered a whole new platform to engage with them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then one of the questions was always distribution. You know, people getting they've got these digital comics. We love them. We can carry them with us all the time. You know, so for us at Marvel.com, we had a bunch of different opportunities. Now we have the Marvel Comics Presents in across the globe. There were webtoons.
That's right. Yep.
The Koreans really pushed the boundaries of how to read a comic digitally on a phone with the scrolling method. I think people here might know webtoons. Or at Marvel, we have Infinity Comics now. Jeff the Land Shark. Then there was Comixology. Comixology was a way that people can buy weekly, their comics and download them and read them, you know. But, unfortunately, as we know, that there's a lack of the industry right now.
In the market right now.
Yeah. Mm. So what we're here to talk about is Vivi, in association with Marvel, has really stepped up to start filling that gap. And how about we show them a little trailer? Everyone want to see a video? Yeah, all right. This is the world premiere of the news that we're announcing. Welcome to the world, Vivi Comics.
Thank you.
Now, Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about this exciting new venture?
So, you know, we've been working with Marvel for probably around 2 years on the comic books themselves, mostly selling the back issue. They were, you know, all of the famous ones, Marvel number one, Incredible Hulk, Uncanny X-Men, Avengers, etc. But now, you know, and the popularity of these comics has really grown and grown just by the way, as CB mentioned, the accessibility of reading them through the platform. So with the past year and a half, we've been working with Marvel to build out this new platform where we are able to offer same day comics and read them in the way that fans sort of love them. You can purchase a single issue. And in addition to that, if you want to, if it's your thing, you can decide to purchase and mint a very limited NFT version of that comic, which you can buy, sell, and trade. So there's really two ways. You know, number one, we want to make sure that we are addressing the comic readers that just want to buy the issue, read it. And then there's this other whole industry on the other side where, you know, like in the physical world, you know, I love to buy comics and I hate to sell them, but sometimes you have to sell them to get that next one. So it offers that, you know, that experience of both sides of the coin. So we're really excited to roll this out. It's been a lot of hard work. Thanks to everyone at Marvel for all of their help. So we hope you all enjoy it.
Yeah, the work that has gone into this on the side of both Vivi and the Marvel Digital team who are over here has just been staggering to make sure that, you know, it is the ultimate reading experience no matter what device
Exactly. Yes.
Or how you prefer to read your comics digitally. And there will be different ways to do that. I think we saw a little bit of it up here.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So you obviously can do it on your phone, tablet, on desktop. And, you know, for us, it's very important that the reading experience is very enjoyable. So as you saw on screen there, we do have the panel by panel, which really enhances that whole storytelling. We want to, you know, help make the flow and the engagement of it really exciting experience.
Yeah, and one of the things that we've been very focused on at Marvel, too, is a lot of our colorists set their screens to make sure that everything is going to print properly on paper. But, you know, on the screen, you get the ultimate reading experience, the colors that pop and shine in ways they can't in print. So we've been working with our colorists as well to make sure that when they're keeping digital comics in mind and optimizing things so that what you're going to be getting on the tablet or on the phone or on the screen on your desktop is going to be the most beautiful presentation of the Marvel art and characters that you've seen yet.
So. And on that note of the Marvel art, for those people that do want to go down the sort of the NFT route, when you do purchase or upgrade your collectible to an NFT, there's up to 5 different variant covers, which are given to you at a blind box or at random. And I think the rarest one, like the secret rare, you know, there could be 100 of them. So they're very, very, very limited. Just another sort of exciting way that we can bring that variant cover into the digital world. Yeah.
And then one other thing I did want to make note of, and I think you would as well, is that while this is a Marvel panel and a Vivi panel, Marvel will be the exclusive launch partner for Vivi Comics. But as we were all comic book fans of different companies and different genres, you know, eventually you'll be opening that up as well.
Yes, exactly. So we're very happy and very proud to be launching with Marvel. And obviously we had a long relationship with you guys. But we are a multi-publisher platform. So over the next month or so, we will be announcing what other comic publishers will be coming on board to the platform as well. I'm sure you guys probably know the majority of them.
Now, just so fans know, if they have the Vivi app already, will they need to download anything new? I'm trying to be the FAQ guy we go through this. Before we get to the little one other thing I would love to talk about.
Yes, so we do have, we just launched about 2 hours ago, so it's a little bit nervous. We normally don't release an app and then talk about it 2 hours later. But yes, there we got a whole new comic reading experience. And if you are an existing VB collector, whatever comics you have purchased will be automatically available in that app. And then it makes it very easy to browse, sort. You can put your comics into categories. Everything that I would do with, you know, all my comic boxes. So it's a fun experience.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up because that's something that's very important to comic collectors. Mm. Myself being a print collector and a digital collector, we always talk about the long box. You know,
exactly,
we want to fill it.
Yeah.
If I bought X-Men 252, I want every issue after. Mm. And I mean, you've all found an amazing way to actually help people organize their collections, which I think is very important. I think everyone agrees with me here who is a comic collector, be it print or digital. You know, being able to go back and find those issues is something that we all value as a service on an app like that.
Especially when maybe like a lot of people in this room, we have hundreds, if not maybe thousands, of comics.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then, you know, I think you saw on the video again, there are going to be all kinds of Marvel comics up there to start, dedicated sections, the Ultimate section. There was some great Ultimate Spider-Man stuff, Ultimate Black Panther, Ultimate X-Men, and all the new books that come out week by week every Wednesday. You know?
Yep, every Wednesday, yep.
So you can be a Wednesday warrior by going to your shop, but at the click of a button, you're a Wednesday warrior at home, a Wednesday downloader. Mm. You'll be able to experience the comics the minute you wake up, pretty much, and download them.
Yeah, and it also offers these amazing comic stories to a global audience that normally wouldn't be able to access it. I mean, we're very, very lucky that we can access these comics in the countries that we live in. But yeah, you know, there are a lot of people out there who may not. So hoping to, you know, widen the audience and offer the amazing experience of comics to a bigger audience.
And by the way, we all love Adidas at Marvel and Marvel and Vivi. But so app is up, 2 hours. It's a little nervous. You guys are here checking your phones, making sure everything is
running.
I've
got the product manager is messaging me going like, it's all good.
But so who would like to be some of the first people to get a free comic and test out the new Vivi Comics app?
Well, that's the only reason I'm here, CB, to get the free comic.
So just like you'll be getting a free Marvel print comic of Avengers 11 with the new X-Men art on it. Do you want to talk about what fans will be getting from Vivi? You'll be also getting a free comic.
Yes, you will also be getting a free comic. If you haven't guessed already, it will be the digital version of the comic, which we'll be handing out with the comic that Marvel has provided. And then basically you just can go to the vivi.me, click on the comic section. You will obviously have to create an account to start off, and then you can redeem the code, and you will have both the physical and the digital version, which can be upgraded to an NFT if you want to make it tradable and collectible. So very excited.
Yeah, we're very excited. Mm. You know, and here we are at South by Southwest. You know, it's a convention that, you know, has an event more than a convention, a festival that has grown to include everything. And we felt, and rightfully so, that there's no better place for Marvel and Vivi to announce, you know, this great opportunity that the fans have embraced. Comic fans are very cutting edge, and they embrace tech, so we felt very appropriate, not just to talk about the X-Men, but also this innovative new form of delivery for your comics and the reading experience. Mm-hmm. So people have come from all over the world to be here, from New Zealand, from Chicago, from Alaska, New York, a Canadian right here in front. But, you know, comics have...
Creators in the house.
Oh, yeah? All right, great. So, you know, comics, like Dan said, have grown beyond superhero comics, too, beyond just the States. It has become a global phenomenon. And it's our responsibility to make sure that our comics, our characters, these stories that we love as readers and collectors are able to get into the hands of as many people as possible. So I just wanted to thank you all for coming. Thank Dan for being here, you know, to talk about Vivi Comics. To thank Tom, Gail, and Jed for coming to talk about the X-Men. And then the behind-the-scenes amazing Marvel digital and PR team that is back there. Please, thank you. Enjoy the rest of South by Southwest. Do not leave. We're ready in the back. Okay, we are ready. If you would like to go, I think that you will get an actual bagged and boarded comic as well as a postcard.
A postcard Vivi with the redemption.
With the redemption code. So thank you very much for coming. Please enjoy the rest of South by Southwest. Keep reading comics.